Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press Newspaper. It is Thursday night. It is the 7th of September. This is a live broadcast, and I'm going to be joined tonight by a very interesting guest. I've never met the man. I just spoke to him very briefly for the first time on the show the other day, but many years ago I read his book when it first came out, and his name has been bouncing around out there on the internet, and people have been talking about his work for a long, long time. His name is Tom Chittum. He's the author of a book called Civil War II. Now, we'll have Tom on here in a minute or two, but my understanding is that Tom's book, excuse me, folks, I understand his book is out of print at this time, and it's relatively hard to find. The good news is, though, that it is soon to be available on the internet. Now, let's bring Tom Chittum up. I understand they have him on the line. Hi, Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
All right, Tom. Listen, good to have you aboard. We're going to go to a break very, very shortly here, but just wanted to mention now, when you were coming up, my understanding is that your book, Civil War II, is out of print at this time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, but it is going to be on the internet in ebook form very, very soon. Is that correct?
That's what we anticipate, yes.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, folks. I was introduced to Mr. Chittum by a mutual friend of ours who is the proprietor and founder of America First Books on the Internet. He's setting up an Internet website, and if you go to amfirstbooks.com, amfirstbooks.com, that's like in America First, amfirstbooks.com, you will find the beginnings of a website that carries some of the writings of Tom Chittum under the section called Articles. You'll find some of Tom's writings actually alongside mine and those of Colonel Don Grand Prix, who many of you are familiar with. But needless to say, that's where you can get some of Tom's writings right now. And in the future, we hope the book Civil War II will be up there. Tom, I read that book a long, long time ago. What year did it first come out?
Oh, about 95, I believe.
Yeah, 95. So we're talking really roughly, 10 years ago now, 10, 11 years ago. And I remember at the time that the book had quite an impact, and it still reverberates out there in the land. And you know what's interesting is that things have actually only gotten worse since you wrote the book. So so what you were talking about then is really the setup for what you said was going to happen in the future, and now we are in the future. Is that not correct?
Yes, things have gotten worse, and we can expect more of the same.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we are coming up to this break here in a minute, Tom. It's going to be with us here just very, very shortly. So we're going to hold our thoughts until that music ends and a nice little commercial comes up. But I do want to welcome you on this show. You are someone who is quite controversial. And if anybody is afraid of controversy, I don't think they want to listen to this show tonight. But if anybody wants to learn something important, they may want to stay tuned. So we're going to hit the break here in just a second, and when we come back, we'll hit the road running. So welcome aboard, Tom Chittum, and folks, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times, and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priest of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest tonight is Tom Chittum. That name is spelled C-H-I-T-T-U-M. And he is the author of the book Civil War II. Plus, he's the author of a host of very interesting writings that reflect his outlook on the world, which has been shaped in large part by his own experience as a man who has had some very real upfront involvement in fighting communism and fighting for freedom. Tom, could you give us a little brief background on yourself there? Because I think it's important for people to understand that you're someone who kind of knows what you're talking about.
Okay, I got mixed up in my first war of Vietnam because I didn't know any better. I was a grunt there for 1 year in the 173rd Airborne Brigade. I got mixed up in my next war because I flat out needed the money, and I needed it real bad. And I was in Rhodesian Territorials, that's like their National Guard, for 2 months, patrolling the boondocks of what was in Rhodesia. And I got mixed up in my third war because I was just flat out bored. And I fought with the Croatian army against the Serbs in Croatia, was it 91, 92, for about 5 months as a grunt.
Okay, so you've seen some real action in your lifetime, but you actually think that ultimately we're going to have some action on our own soil here, don't you?
Eventually, it looks like to me as if the establishment is trying to instigate a civil war here, just as they did in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, this is something that it's a frightening concept for Americans. But you know, we constantly hear in the alternative media, so called, we constantly hear people saying, you know, we need solutions. Well, in some respects, your prediction of a possible civil war here, you almost take it from a positive standpoint, in a sense that you think that might be kind of a cleansing effort for what's been happening here in the United States today.
No, in fact, just quite the opposite. I made that clear in my book. I thought that the best scenario we could have is that we Americans decided to stay united in one nation. That was the best scenario.
Well, that's
the worst
ultimately
that we
ultimately the best. But
as far as the Clinton experience, no. I mean, you're talking 4 or 5 years of civil war and millions, possibly even more dead. So, no, I wouldn't call it a Clinton experience. I'd call it a nightmare.
But you think it's would you say it is an inevitability, or would you think that, I mean, you don't think it would be the best thing for America?
It would be the very worst.
Yeah, well, this is, I mean, nobody wants to see civil war break out here, but the racial conflicts that have been developing over the past, I mean, we saw it all beginning with the civil rights era. Now we have a massive influx of immigration, both legal and illegal. Would you say these are contributing factors to what could be the civil war forthcoming?
Contributing factors, yes, but the main factor contributing to the civil war is that the establishment, the actual people in power, the Bilderbergers, the Pilgrim Society, the Trilateral, the CFR, you name it, all these think tanks and foundations, they are trying to instigate it and stir it up when they should be trying to do the exact opposite. They are the real problem, and we can't avoid a civil war until we get all of those people out of power and replace them with honest, sane people.
You know, this is the whole thing now. What we've come up against is just what you've said, that there are all these elite groups that are, you know, building up the tensions between people. I mean, I've commented on this myself, that, you know, the mass media seems to be deliberately provoking conflict in America. But on the other hand, you know, if this is what they want, do you think that is all part of it? In other words, are they actually stimulating and funding the groups that are, well, I mean, we know that they are. Let's put it this way. We know that these establishment elite organizations have been promoting racial, what should we call it, racial disunity or racial conflict.
Agitators, separatists, you name it, that sort of people. The people like the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, the Mixed American Legal Defense and Education Fund, those, just to name two of them. There are more, though.
Well, now, that's very interesting. You know, I've talked a little bit about some stories that we've had reported here in the Washington area about the Minutemen, and I know a lot of people in the audience are very favorably inclined toward the Minutemen. You have kind of a differing point of view on that. Could you comment on that?
Certainly. Let's start out with a Bilderberger. His name is William Crystal. When William Crystal was at Harvard, his roommate was a guy named Alan Keyes. I'm sure you heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Keyes is the head of a sort of a financial outfit called Declaration Alliance, and Declaration Alliance has as one of his clients the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps, which is sucking money out of the Civil Defense Corps, which goes to Alan Keyes, which goes to William Crystal, a Bilderberger. It's a Bilderberger front.
Now, see, this is something that, we've touched on that in this program, and I'm glad to hear somebody else who's picking up on this because, the gut reaction on the part of a lot of people is to say, hey, the Minutemen are doing a good thing, and, you know, we're all concerned about the borders. But when we have artificial groups that are popping up and manipulating things, well, this is what I've written about in my new book, The Judas Goats. We have a lot of people who are not leading us but misleading us. And you would suggest then that that's all part and parcel of the effort to lead us toward more conflict.
Yes, and for now on, I'm going to make as my focus to break up these false flag groups. What I would like to see is America, where we have real conservatives and real liberals and real Democrats and real Republicans. And then, with all these crooks out of the way, I think we may be able to solve our problems and continue on as a constitutional republic without a civil war and without invading other countries and without a terrible economic depression, which is coming any day now.
You know, it's very interesting to hear you talking this way, considering all your very extensive background out there on the battlefield, you know. And it's interesting, I noticed in your writings you have taken a very firm stand against what you call imperialism, and you think that's precisely what we have in the works today, and a lot of people do.
Yes, it is imperialism, and it's nothing new. Even before the First World War, a British establishment figure called Mackinder wrote the blueprint for how they were going to conquer the world, and it's still in effect. And he said that the key to conquering the world is to conquering Central Asia, basically, Afghanistan, Iran, Tajikistan, all those Stan countries. He said, if you can do that, whoever rules that geographic region rules the world, and they're still trying to do it today. They're heading straight towards World War III, and they're trying to provoke a war with China and Russia, I think.
Yeah, well, this is the whole thing, you know. It's reached a point where they are doing exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of Americans who call themselves conservatives, who call themselves anti-communists, who call themselves patriots. I sometimes get the feeling that they would be very, very happy if the United States got into a war with Red China. Are people unable to shed that mentality? I mean, I'm not sure what to say. What do you think about that, Tom?
Well, there are a certain percentage of people like that, and I regret it, because if we get in a war with Red China and we don't use nukes, we're going to lose. So think about this for a minute. I want to emphasize this. Our military is so demoralized. If it gets in a war where it takes more than one or two dead a day, it just goes straight downhill like we did in Vietnam. We can't take casualties. If we get in a serious war anywhere, that'll be all over. We'll be whipped.
Yeah, and you know,
literally.
You know, this is what's interesting about it. You know, I think part of it, comes from that old Cold War mentality that still hangs on and influences the thinking of a lot of people in what we call the Patriot Movement. But you know, I've always said, if we look back on it, the Cold War was a fraud. I mean, we had Chase Manhattan Bank operating freely in downtown Moscow, while at the same time U.S. taxpayers were helping build up the Soviet war machine, and there was all sorts of transfers of technology. So what was that Cold War all about?
In my opinion, there's a sort of cartel of bankers, which I think is headquartered more or less in London, and it controls the banking system and all of Western civilization, literally. And then they are presidents. Aren't really presidents. They're more like short order takers in a restaurant or something. They're nothing. And we don't really have any history. That's what they've been in power. They took over America around about a century ago when they created the Federal Reserve System Corporation, whatever you want to call it. And they've been effectively in charge here ever since. The last president to really oppose him was Kennedy, and we know what happened to him.
Exactly, that's right.
Can I ask you a question?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah, please, yeah.
Okay, now, I have heard that Kennedy issued Treasury notes some months before his assassination. In your opinion, is that the primary cause of why they did it, or a contributing cause, or did it have anything to do with it at all?
Well, there's kind of a myth there about that. There were U.S. notes released into the U.S. economy during the Kennedy administration. There's no question about that. A lot of people thought that was the last time U.S. notes were released into the economy. In fact, they released notes into the economy in as late as 1966.
Okay.
But there's no question about the fact that Kennedy and his family were planning to move against the Federal Reserve. That was part of the long-term agenda of the Kennedy family. That certainly played a part in it, no question about it.
What were the other contributing factors, if you could briefly?
Hey, Tom, we got a break coming up here, and we also have a caller who's going to join us momentarily. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're free to call in here, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
Thank you.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Introducing Idea Sticks. Idea Sticks are self-adhering, so you simply peel and stick to create the look of hand-painted tile on your kitchen backsplash. Bring new life to kitchen countertops. Accent and coordinate kitchen appliances and accessories. The possibilities are endless. And because Idea Sticks are steam and heat resistant, you can even use them in your bathroom. Idea Sticks are removable, reusable, and washable, and won't leave marks or a sticky mess. So you can change to a new design at any time. During this special TV offer, you can order your very own Idea Sticks. A, the floral bouquet. B, the dolphin porthole. Or C, the floral and fruit basket. For the amazing price of just $19.99. That's right, only $19.99. And that's not all. During this special TV offer, we'll even throw in a sheet of custom accents absolutely free.
To order your very own Idea Sticks, call 1-800-564-5812. That's 1-800-564-5812.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper. This is a live broadcast tonight. Nothing recorded here. We've got a special guest on with us tonight, Tom Chittum, author of the very famous book, Civil War II. And as we said, it will soon be available on the Internet in an online version at mfirstbooks.com. So you'll want to keep an eye on that website. There's also some very interesting commentary there by the proprietor, Bill Fox, and it's well worth checking the whole website out. They're going to be carrying e-book versions of my books as well, and also those of Colonel Don de Grand Prix and many, many other people. But as I say, even now, it's a very interesting webpage. In any case, we do have Tom Chittum on the line with us, and Tom, we've got a couple people who are already calling in with questions or comments, so I think we'll go... Go right to the phone.
Can I plug my two new books later?
Yeah, please do. Okay. Now, tell us about them now, Tom. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have an address for people, so they might want to have a pencil.
Okay, yeah. Get your pen and paper handy, ladies and gentlemen. After the third break at the end of the half hour, we're going to give Tom's address out, and you can find out about his new books.
Get that
pen and paper handy. All right, let's go to Henry from Connecticut. Henry, come on up. Henry, are you there?
Hello?
Henry, yes. How are you doing?
Hello? Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you,
okay,
Henry.
Yeah.
Can
you guys were pressing the right button. Okay. All right, I want to ask a question to your guest.
Okay.
All right. I'm in the state of Connecticut. Up here, we had a Zionist by the name of Lieberman. I'm not a registered Democrat, but I did register just recently so I can get the general election. There were people who were even around my age in their 30s to down to like 21 or so that voted, registered for the first time, and also people older, registered to as a Democrat, even if they're not for either party, so that they could vote in this primary. And we made history nationwide as far as, and even statewide, because it's the largest primary turnout in the state's history. Now, they got rid of Lieberman and put Lamont. Lieberman's going to run anyway on an independent ticket, even though he's not independent. Since you mentioned Alan Keyes, I want to know, what is Lamont connected with? Because I was told that he once was worked for the Rothschilds, one of the covered for the Rothschilds, so you wouldn't see the Rothschild name. You see his name to manage something with one of their banks or something, and then he broke away. And so I want to know what Lamont, this Democratic primary candidate that won the primary, what is he connected with in any way?
Lamont is from an old establishment family, which I'll call the Lamonts. He's a grandson of a pilgrim for sure. He's a grandson of a member of the Pilgrim Society. He may be a member of the Pilgrim Society yourself. If my wife will be kind enough to go get my book, which is
there's different pilgrims. I understand it because the pilgrim stuff is fascinating. Which pilgrims? Now, you're talking about the English ones in 1620 that settled north of me?
I'm talking about a society called the Pilgrim Society, which was created in 1903 for the purpose of recolonizing and taking back over the United States of America by the British Crown. That's what he's a member of. I have not heard any rumor about his connection with any Rothschild people. It may or may not be true. I don't know. I just haven't heard of it myself.
All right. Well, supposedly he was. He was like... it was like Jacob, not as big like the Federal Reserve, but it was like he was like managing or something from them. He made some money from that opportunity, and then he broke away from them.
Well, I would just comment myself that if they are part of that Pilgrim Society linkage there, that I think in some respects would even tie back to the Rothschilds, because the Rothschilds themselves have been a driving financial force behind the British Empire. That's essentially, it's interesting that you bring up this Pilgrim Society. A lot of people are not familiar with that.
What state is it in, by the way? What state and city is it in? I mean, is it Massachusetts? Is it up here in Connecticut? Where?
Well, Tom, do you have any background on that? I've read about the Pilgrim Society many years ago. I think they were primarily operating out of some of the New York families. What do you have to say about that?
Their actual headquarters, they had two of them, one in New York and one in London, and they had 900 members in each. The membership was capped at 900 in each, supposedly, and passed here in America from father to eldest son, just like they do in Britain with the aristocratic titles. And that's one of the proofs that the Pilgrim Society is trying to recreate an aristocracy in here to reabsorption by the British Crown and taking us back to a sort of feudal medieval society. And the most important people in America belong to it. The President of the United States is a member of the Pilgrim Society even now as we speak.
Now, what about
Bush
Bill Clinton?
Second.
What about Bill Clinton?
Pardon?
Bill Clinton, the penis guy, Bill Clinton. What about him? He belonged to it too?
Every member of the Pilgrim Society, every president of the United States automatically becomes a member of the Pilgrim Society, just as every American ambassador to the U.S. does. John Kennedy was a member of the Pilgrim Society. He was a member of a lot of other establishment organizations, but for reasons unknown to me, he revolted against them, the size of the Republic, and was assassinated for his noble efforts.
Okay, fellas, we have our break coming up here. When we come back, we're going to give the address where you can get Tom Chittum's new books. So get your pen and paper handy, and we'll come back to Henry, who's on the line from Connecticut. We have other callers lined up as well. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Hi, this is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. Join Jeffrey Bennett and myself each day at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we'll give you the flip side of the day's financial and political news. Had Warren Buffett tuned in, he could have saved himself $1 billion. You see, Mr. Buffett bet against the dollar 2 years ago. Had he had chosen buying gold instead of foreign currency, he would have made $2 billion. Don't make the Buffett mistake. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 and let us help you ensure your wealth against dollar depreciation. For daily updates on the condition of the dollar, visit our website at republictradinggroup.com. Or as I said, just give us a call at 1-800-691-7898 and speak with Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898. And thank you for your support of Republic Broadcasting Network.
KUBAN Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellites is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling. And begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information. Or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here. We've got Tom Chittum on as our special guest tonight, and we have quite a few callers lined up. We are talking right now with Henry calling from Connecticut, and we've been talking about this little-known but very intriguing group called the Pilgrim Society, which is kind of an elite organization linking the they want to reclaim the United States for the British Empire. I think it's simple as that. Tom and Henry, I first heard of the Pilgrim Society in reading an old speech by a congressman, Jacob Thorkelson, who served like only one or two terms in Congress, but he hit those fellas and he hit them hard. So did you have any further comments on that Pilgrim Society, Tom, or any further comments, Henry?
Okay. One is this. I thought that with that name Lamont, I thought that'd be French and not English, Lamont, you know. And so I don't know why, you know, there's wars between the French and the British anyway, you know. So I kind of thought that, you know, that's kind of interesting because I didn't think you'd have a Frenchman want to, you know, fight for the British Empire. Now, the other thing is this. This is very important. Which one is more on top, Rothschild or Queen Elizabeth, or is it that Rothschild married into the family of Queen Elizabeth, and that's where, you know, or the other way around? Because there's a great talk show host by the name of Jackie Petru who had some information, and she thinks it's the other way around. Because with the tie between Queen Elizabeth II and Jacob Rothschild, Nathan Rothschild. Well, the Rothschilds are today, so I'll say Jacob, and I forgot how many others are. How many Rothschilds are alive now anyway? Is it three or two?
Well, they have a very extended family. I mean,
well, the older ones that are running it, though, you know, the ones on top that are running it.
Two
older.
For sure that I know of, maybe three others I don't know about. I don't have a photographic memory. That's why I keep this huge list.
All right, is there a Nathan still around?
Pardon me?
A Nathan, like Nathaniel. Is there a Nathan still around?
Not currently alive that I'm aware of. No Nathan Rothschild currently alive that I'm aware of.
Right, but
there might very well be.
Right, but there's a Jacob.
Jacob Rothschild, and, yeah, there's...
Guy Rothschild and Evelyn D. Rothschild, and I think Guy
Evelyn
is also
is a
called
man,
Jacob.
Though.
I don't know. They change their names all the time. It's a one of their habits.
All right, but how are they linked to Queen Elizabeth? Does Queen Elizabeth run them, or do they run Queen Elizabeth?
I don't know. I'd give my left arm to know. That's one of the questions I'm trying to sort out. The horse I would bet on is that these people are now so intermarried and intertwined that... I don't know. They're just mixed up like salt and pepper. It's really, it'd be hard to separate.
You know, that's an interesting question, and I can tell you that years ago, now the Nazis put this out, and people will say, well, that's Nazi literature, but I'm here to tell you that they did an immense amount of research on questions such as this, and they put out a little booklet many years ago which documented a lot of the intermarriage between wealthy Jewish banking families,
right,
and members of the royal family and much of the nobility in England. So you know, as I say,
well, everything the Nazis have were not necessarily a lie or not true, and that's, you know,
right. No, I just qualified that because I know that a lot of people, when they hear the word Nazi,
say that,
they will
yeah.
just assume that because it came from the Nazis.
Yeah, right. Well, they ought to know, because I'm going to tell you something. I believe they killed Rudolf Hess because, you know, one time they had all the ideas. Germany had a lot of engineering and all the ideas, but they didn't have the money. And I think the Rothschilds helped finance Hitler's Reich, and then Hitler just turned on them. You know, he was just like kind of using them, and then he was going to turn on them later, which he did. That's why they took him out.
There's so many of these aspects of history that, my God, it's hidden history, I always call it, but not hidden anymore because there are people like Tom Chittum who are out there working to bring it out. So,
yeah, that's good.
Can I bring in with a comment about Hitler?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah, go ahead.
Shortly after World War I, when he was still nothing but a corporal in the German army, he
right.
was put on a plane and flown to Berlin and put up in a mansion and given elocution lessons so he wouldn't sound like a hillbilly. Because
elocution.
Even then, just
elocution?
After when he was... Don't let me finish. Let me finish. When he was still a corporal, just after World War I, he was chosen by rich people to be the Führer. It wasn't a populist uprising in the bottom. He was a stooge, and he was picked. He was on the payroll all along. He didn't break with them until, I don't know, about 1940. And then Hitler became like an independent player. Before that, he was a tool of the bankers, and I want everybody to know it.
Right. Well, one other thing. All right, one other thing before I go. I was told by a very smart Alabama guy named Richard Hall, he sometimes calls his show, he told me that the Rothschilds adopted Hitler, and they arranged the arrangement between Hitler's mother and Hitler's father, and also this thing about Hitler's mother and Hitler's father being cousins and being related, that wasn't true. It was not an interbred thing. And that they were adopted themselves, and also that the Rothschilds, one of the Rothschilds helped support and arranged the adoption with Hitler and took care of him or gave them the money, just enough money for them to take care of Hitler and so forth. Is that true or not?
I just don't know. I don't know much about Hitler's genealogy or family history. I wish I did.
All right. Well, the thing about them being cousins,
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I was told that's not real. That stuff about them being cousins, Hitler's mother and father being cousins, and they intermarried and had him. That's not true. They were not related.
I know of a fellow who's done a very detailed genealogy of both sides of the Hitler family. And
how do you do that? That would be very difficult, right?
What's
people
that?
Well, wouldn't that be very difficult since they don't know exactly, never seen his birth certificate or...
Well,
or is that available?
It's been some years since I actually looked at this material, but it was pretty convincing, and... I think he laid to rest in some of his commentary the old legend that Hitler was a member of the Rothschild family, an illegitimate member of the Rothschild family. That story has circulated for a long time. That doesn't preclude, of course, the possibility that that international bankers were financing Hitler. But
oh no, yeah,
yeah
right,
no, of
right.
course.
No, I don't think he was Jewish or related to them, because the Rothschilds are definitely Jewish. Okay,
yeah, so yeah, but there's a lot of people who have said, well, Hitler was a relative of the Rothschilds, an illegitimate son of one of the Rothschild sons, or things like that, you know, or that his father was, but. The that really is just what I said, a legend. So,
well, yeah,
we have quite a few other callers here that want to get in and talk.
So,
Henry,
yeah,
I appreciate your call. Let's go to Edward from Ohio. Edward, come on up.
Hello?
Hello, Edward. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
All righty.
I'd like to talk with Tom. Tom, you said some interesting things about your wartime experience. That impresses me because I've never seen war myself. I'd like to hear more about Rhodesia. I don't know if you have time for tonight, but regarding certain people stirring up racial strife, I've heard this before, but my experience is no one needs to stir up racial strife here in America. I myself am trying not to stir it up necessarily, and yet people are so provocative of certain races. With just this in-my-face stuff, it's just, they anger me just the way they are, and no one has to stir it up. And I think I'll just get off the line, because you got a lot of callers, and I really actually called in about something else, because I can't hear you on the radio, Michael. So I'll just hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, I feel like I got the same problem, you know. If I don't like, I got to drive to a poor black neighborhood for my appointments at the VA hospital. And it scares the hell out of me. You know what I mean? Really. But at the same time, the real situation isn't the fault of those poor black people there. The situation is the fault of the people who keep them poor. All these crooks, the Bilderbergers, the Pilgrim Society, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR. If we can just get rid of them, we can end that poverty, and maybe they won't be so bitter against us. That's the real solution.
Well, you know, I've always said, you know, living here in Washington, D.C., and seeing what's going on, I see all the homeless people. I see all the problems with drugs. It's always a You live close enough to Washington, Tom, you know what it's all about. I mean, they spend billions and billions of dollars to send us in these imperial wars, but they can't reform a probation and parole system that can get people off the streets and into employment and away from drugs. You know, it's the money, the priorities, and that's all part of the game. Of course, the CIA imports the drugs that these people are using in the streets of Washington and causing the crime that happens, and which causes the racial strife. It's just this ugly, vicious circle that we can't seem to get away from.
Can I give my address here?
Yes, I was just going to bring that up. Please give your address out, Tom.
Okay, Tom Chittum, Chittum, P.O. Box 83961.
Repeat that again, Tom.
I say again, 83961.
83961.
Roger. And the city is Gaithersburg, Maryland, and that's Gaithersburg, Maryland. Gaithersburg, Maryland. And the zip is 20883.
20883. That's Tom Chittum, P.O. Box. Give that P.O. Box again, Tom.
83961.
83961.
Mm-hmm.
That's Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Yep.
And the zip code?
20883.
Yes, and you have some other writings available now. Tell us about that.
Okay, I got a collection of rants that was, some of them are posted on the web, some of them are still there, some have since disappeared, and some more rants that were never posted on the web, and I put them all together. There's about, I don't know, 50 rants, and it's about 50,000 words long. That's $20.
Okay.
I'll pay the postage. And the other thing I have for sale is this gigantic list that is 293 pages long, containing about 15,000 names of people who belong to these establishment front groups like the CFR and the Trilateral Commission. They'll have to write and ask about that, because it comes in three different versions and there's three different prizes, and there's too much to get into over the phone.
Okay, well, I think people will be interested in that. You have your book of rants, as you call it, at
$20. Sergeant Skull's Field Manual for the Practical Modern Warrior. It's all about the military jams I got into in the current military situation.
Just call it Sergeant Skull for short. Yeah, Sergeant Skull. Yeah,
Sergeant Skull. Yeah, you'll know what it is. Yeah,
yeah, that's my pen name.
Of course I've read your book, but I've just seen a few of your rants that are listed on amfirstbooks.com, and I think people find those of interest too. So
yeah, probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with them.
Yeah, you used to have a regular column posted on Alex Jones' website up until a few years ago. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I got chopped off, man.
You got chopped off, okay. Well, I tell you what, you might have gotten chopped off, but you're still chopping away, so that's what counts.
Can I leave with a nightmare scenario?
But you give us a nightmare scenario.
Okay. Here's the good news. We throw out all these Bilderbergers and Trilateral Commission people and Knights of Malta and Pilgrim Societies and you name it, think tank, Ford Foundation, throw them all out and put in Americans who are not in the payroll of this banking cartel in London. And then after we all think about, we all decide we hate each other too much, we start our own civil war anyway.
Well, you know what that is?
I want to make a serious comment here.
That's you know what that is? Good old-fashioned Americanism at its best.
At its worst. But see, I want to make a serious comment here. I mean, this country is like on the precipice of war. I think we're in World War III right now, for all intents and purposes, just the first phase of it. We're like in the first phases of depression. It's only going to get worse. We're probably going to have a civil war here. We've got to do some out-of-the-box thinking about this. I mean, really. I mean, you know, the reason I never get invited to almost any show is because I just don't belong to any club. I'm not a conservative, a liberal. I've just been shooting people all my life, and I've come to the conclusion that after it just shouldn't be first choice, and it never should be looked over anything positive.
Well, what was it? Smedley, Darlings, and Butler said war is a racket, and that's a man who got congressional medals of honors for doing precisely what you did. Yeah.
When I was in Croatia, we were getting brand new G3 assault rifles from Germany that still had the factory packing grease on them. There was all kinds of stuff going on there that you people never heard about.
You know, I think you and I are in the wrong business, Tom. We should have gone into the arms business instead of the idea business. We'd be rich.
That's a growth industry.
We'd be rich, and we'd be members of the Bilderberg Group and the Pilgrim Society. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. We got a great caller out in Indiana called Country Boy who's chomping at the bit to come on up here. So let's bring Country Boy up.
You wrote the prescient book Civil War II. In it, you said words to the effect that watch some forms of government-staged atrocities like Oklahoma City for them to happen, and this will show you that we're getting closer to Civil War II. I ask you the question, do you see something like this perpetrated on illegal Mexicans to sway public opinion in this country on having an immigration-like Patriot Act railroaded through the Congress? In
sure,
other words,
911, plain and simple, inside job, treason, mass murder.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on record as saying it.
But I'm saying, after they did that, they railroaded through the Patriot Act in 2 days. Could you see something being perpetrated on Mexican illegals to get the sympathy of the people to pass through some type of amnesty or citizenship to all the people that are here?
I'm not sure. I think that's kind of like a separate thing from 911. You know, they got so many pots on the pans bubbling away. It's kind of hard to keep them going. The amnesty thing, whatever they say about it, for instance, just last night on TV, I saw Pat Buchanan debating a lady from, I think it was La Raza. Both of those, Pat Buchanan's a Knight of Malta, and La Raza is funded by foundations. They're both puppets, and they're both taking different sides of a bogus argument just to stir up trouble. They're just trying to make things bubble. They're not trying to solve anything, and both of those people ultimately get their money from bankers in London. They're part of the establishment.
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't matter who's doing it, really, because we got to pay the price for their decisions. My next question is, since writing your book back in the mid-90s, has anything changed on specifics for preparation for people that are, they see the Civil War II coming? Has anything changed about how to prepare for it on the individual level?
Well,
I guess the honest answer is, if I had a lot of money, I would do what my publisher did. I would move to Central America on the side of a volcano and just wait till it blows over. But I don't. I'm just saying, like most journalists, I live from paycheck to paycheck, and I think we should put the emphasis on spreading the word and trying to do something about this, because if you don't have a pack of money, there's going to be nowhere to run. These people are in charge of all Western civilization.
All right, outstanding. Also, did you say that you had published books since Civil War II?
Yeah, one's just a collection of rants. It's not really a book, and the other one is not really a book either. It's a long list of about 15,000 names of people who belong to elitist organizations.
Final question. Why did you get chopped off the Alex Jones website?
I don't know for sure, but I have one comment about Mr. Alex Jones. How does anyone sneak into the Bohemian Grove with a BBC cameraman when everyone knows that the BBC is plugged directly into the throne of England? They knew that Joker was coming. They rolled out the red carpet for him.
All right. We have a break coming up with a dramatic revelation preceding it. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Pfeiffer wrapping up a very interesting hour with Tom Chittum. We'll definitely have him back here again. Stay tuned. We got one more caller waiting to come aboard.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this hour is wrapping up all too fast, but as you know, beginning next week, I'm going to start doing a two-hour broadcast here, which is going to make it possible for us to have even more extended discussions with great guests like Tom Chittum and more calls from the callers. In the meantime, Tom, we do have, and Tom, I definitely want to have you back very, very soon. But right now we have Carlos calling in from California. Carlos, you got a minute, just about a minute here to chat.
Oh, yeah, real quick here. You guys were talking about the Pilgrim Society, and Fritz Springmeier wrote a book called The 13 Bloodlines of the Illuminati, in which he speaks of the Pilgrim Society being part of the New World Order, just like Cecil Rhodes was also trying to get a movement to bring the United States back to England, but he was actually financed by the Rothschild banking family, so he was in control by them.
But, that's right.
Getting back to Hitler, you know, the Schroeder Bank, the Bank of England, the Union Bank, all these banks actually financed Hitler, and they were owned by the Rothschilds and, of course, the Bush family, which are cousins to the Rothschilds and to the Queen of England. All these people are cousins. They run around together. But I think I think that Hitler was financed, and part of their objective was to decimate the Jewish population because they were envisioning setting up Israel in 1947, the coming years. So it was to their advantage to victimize the Jews and give them no recourse but to migrate to Palestine, where they were set up the scenario that we see today, and to have people empathy for them after the Second World War when Israel became a nation, due to the fact that Hitler was used as an agent to kill wherever a mob was killed. So all that, I think, was part of a script.
Tom, what do you think about that scenario? I have some problems with it myself, but I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Look, the guy covered a lot of ground, and I couldn't really hear him because I got shot up real bad in Vietnam. I suggest that if you would do the courtesy of having me on as a guest at some time in the future, he'd call in again, and you can summarize it for me because, frankly, I couldn't hear him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tom, I should mention that. Yeah, Tom does has a hearing problem from his war service, so it's a little rough for him sometimes. But yeah, Carlos, that whole question of what Hitler was set up for, you know, that's something would actually make a very interesting show and just get some of these ideas out there. There's so many things in history that are so subjective, you know, and Tom has done a lot of research here into these power groups, as I have and as other people have done, and it's a lot of these questions will never be resolved, but that's something we'll talk about one night. We'll have Tom talk about it too the next time he's back on board with us. So, Carlos, I thank you for your call. We're going to be wrapping it up here momentarily. Tom, give your address out once more if you would, so people can write you.
Okay, Tom Chittum, Chittum, P.O. Box 83961. Gaithersburg, Gaithersburg, Maryland, zip code 20883.
All right, Tom, listen, I appreciate you coming on the program. I've known about you for years, and I finally get to meet you, although not directly. So we'll have to get together for lunch sometime here in D.C., Tom.
Be my pleasure, sir.
All right, listen.
My honor being a guest on your show.
Thanks for coming on. We'll definitely have you back in the very near future here, and hopefully that Civil War II will be back out there available at amfirstbooks.com, so people should keep an eye out there.
Okay, thanks, and keep your head down, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, Tom. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the legendary, and he is legendary, Tom Chittum. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back here tomorrow night, God willing, and Monday we start the two-hour broadcast. Should be a lot of fun. All right, thanks for your calls. Thanks for listening in. Stay tuned to RBNLive.com, the best network out there.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.